This is No More Silence, a podcast dedicated to bringing an end to youth violence in Toledo. This is a youth-led podcast bringing high school and university students together with community leaders and experts to learn about the complex causes of youth violence. Experts will discuss initiatives in the city, trauma-informed communities, opportunity networks, the courage required of nonviolence, and much more. The podcast will bring to light youth experiences that stay hidden to the general community. Adults and youth will also share poetry considering the impact of adultism, which is an adult bias against youth. No More Silence is the result of the Ram Empowerment Project and Fearless Writers, two local programs fostering youth-led activism and knowledge creation. Welcome to episode one of No More Silence, Considering Adultism. On this episode, a group of community members will be considering adultism through creative writing and sharing of personal experience from an adult perspective. My name is Heather Cleary, and I teach social work at the University of Toledo, and am one of the founding members of a community writing group called Fearless Writers. This is our ninth year bringing local high school and university students together to write with each other and learn from each other about important social justice issues. Fearless Writers is a creative community that allows for free expression, nurtures confidence and voice, and supports collaborative youth-led research as an effort to counter discrimination and implicit bias. On today's episode, university students and adult members of the writing community will be sharing raw writing pieces they have written as part of a community empathy write that started in November 2024. The prompts for the writing project are songs picked by high school students as having a positive message and research information on adultism. In the month of November, writers were asked to write about the following phrases often said by adults to children. You're so smart for 11. It's just a stage, you'll grow out of it. What do you know? You haven't experienced anything. You think this is hard, wait until you're an adult. Each writer takes no more than 10 minutes to write their piece and is asked to limit edits. Writers who are part of the Community Empathy Write can write alone or join a virtual or in-person writing group. Fearless Writers uses a writing group method called Amherst Writers and Artists to encourage each other and to focus on strengths of the writing. We are excited to share this work with you, and each writer will introduce themselves as we go along.
Hi, my name's Chelsea Baylor, and I'm a fourth-year medical student at the University of Toledo College of Medicine. The following is a piece I wrote on November 27th titled, Hard. You think this is hard? It might be easy for you now, but did you ever struggle when you were learning? You think this is hard? To tell a child that hard things only get harder, what do you accomplish? You think this is hard? Discouraging growth and triumph? Does that make you stronger? You think this is hard? Practice is what makes the difficult easier. How much time do you spend learning? Wait until you're an adult. Then when the difficult seems easy, you can remember how you felt when you were discouraged. What really inspired this writing was reflecting on my own experience with adultism and the process of growing up in general. I always joke with my dad because he was definitely one of those people who pulled the, when I was a kid, I went up the hill both ways card. And he's an amazing dad, and we definitely laugh about it now. But even I, who felt very supported and loved as a child, definitely experienced moments of adultism. I think there can be a balance. Sometimes as adults, we have to be realistic with children and set expectations. But without a healthy amount of encouragement and freedom to explore, how can we expect kids to be successful and want more or better for themselves? What this piece really tries to tie together is the idea that we were all kids once. For better or for worse, we grew up, but in those moments where people told us adulthood wouldn't be so easy, how did we feel? Then, ultimately, it ends by turning the attention to a young reader and saying, remember this when you're an adult. Remember how this made you feel, and don't forget, so you won't make the same mistakes as those before you. So I have the very great and unique privilege of becoming a pediatrician in just a few short months when I graduate in May. So looking forward to my future career, I've considered a lot about how I want to navigate the patient-guardian relationship. I think this exercise is really going to help that because it has granted me the ability to get a better perspective rather than just one from another adult looking down on a child. I really want to work to be an advocate for the kids that I serve, and I think taking a second to remember how I felt when I was a kid is really going to help me connect with them better. I also think that by improving my awareness of adultism and remembering how I experienced, I will develop a better relationship with my patients overall. Ultimately, this will allow me to meet my patients where they're at and work to create the healthiest and happiest versions of themselves and whatever they've envisioned that might be.
Hello, I'm Joshua Archer, and I am the coordinator for wellness and support for the Toledo Fire and Rescue Department. I'm also an adjunct professor in the social work department at the University of Toledo. I'm also a doctoral student at the University of Toledo in the educational psychology department. The following piece I wrote on November 22nd. The title of the piece is, "It's Just a Stage, You'll Grow Out of It." When I was a young boy, perhaps 8 or 9, I can remember my thoughts of the future being filled with possibility. I can also remember how strange it felt to hear adults talking about adult things like, what do you want to be when you grow up? Another strange question was, who do you want to marry? I loved animals as a child, and like most boys, I was infatuated with big, scary predators. Tigers are fierce, powerful, and mysterious. I thought their striped fur was so beautiful, so I wanted to marry a tiger. My parents would laugh and say, it's a stage, he'll grow out of it. I did, but unfortunately I feel like they missed out on the interesting perspective of why children look at marriage with such an innocent lens. The same with questions of, what do you want to be when you grow up? Adults use this question to figure out a child's career goals. Now, the more that I age and mature, the more I realize that our jobs and our roles don't define who we are. I am much more than the things you see me doing. Children should be able to shape their identity on the intrinsic values and not the projected aspirations of adults. Adultism seems to be an extension of regret and in some cases steals a child's autonomy by devaluing their emotions, thoughts, and dreams. Talking a little more depth about what inspired this writing, honestly, it was really just a prompt thinking about my perspective when I was a child, trying to, you know, go back in time to that. I think that time has a weird effect on our memories and our experiences and how they're perceived. And this prompt was fun for me because writing it now, I'm a father. I have a 10-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son, and they're very, very interesting. I try to learn from some of the experiences I had as a child. I try to replicate some of the things that my parents did that I feel they did correctly, which is most of it. And I try to really like be mindful and ground myself in those experiences like I mentioned in this writing so I don't miss out on those opportunities to kind of share those experiences and help them dig deeper into those experiences. My children are more privileged in a lot of senses than I was as a child, and I think one of the benefits of that is they have room to express themselves and be more autonomous. One of the drawbacks of that, though, is I feel it just leads to them being more carefree, less serious, almost like a bigger sense of being naive, which is good. I mean, it's an innocence, but at the same time, it's like the things that I struggled with as a child helped, you know, garner some of the discipline and some of the toughness that I, I, I feel that I haven't as an adult. And it's so hard to teach that to them when they don't come from the same place. So that was the interesting thing about their writing, was thinking about that as, you know, I don't even think my children even think about things like who they're going to marry or things like that. And what they want to be when they grow up changes every other day. And I guess that kind of leads into talking about adultism itself. Honestly, I didn't think about it much until I started working on this project. But I think that isms, period, racism, sexism, genderism, ageism, adultism, are ways that power dynamics manifest themselves in different kind of relationships or interactions between groups. And when it comes to adultism, adults obviously have power over children. And that can be abusive. A lot of times it can be harmful, but I also think that it's a responsibility. You know, power is a part of reality. And I think that, you know, it's a responsibility for those that have power to protect those that don't and can't protect themselves, and also police themselves from abusing that power. So I remember being very, very rebellious in high school, and I think that comes to kind of this idea of you're going through this weird adolescence thing that we've labeled this time period, but you're going through this transition from childhood to adulthood, and you're recognizing that, oh, I don't have power, and these adults do have this power, and eventually I will be an adult and I'll have the same power, which is fun. You know, I'll be able to drink and drive cars and go on dates and do what I want and go to bed when I want and eat what I want. I'll have all the privileges of an adult. But I think a lot of high schoolers subconsciously are dealing with the stress of, I'm also going to have all these responsibilities. They're starting to realize, like, I'm going to have a job. I'm going to have to provide for myself. I'm going to have to provide for a family one day. I'm going to have to, you know, pay taxes and follow laws and do all these things. So I think that just looking at that dynamic of the transition from being the powerless or the person who has less power to being the person who has the power is an interesting thing. And from a psychological standpoint, I think it has so many different implications on our behaviors and our choices as people as we make this transition. And I think that, you know, it may look different from culture to culture in certain ways, but I think that it's pretty human. It's pretty indicative of human nature, of humankind, that, you know, we all start as children and we eventually, God willing, become adults. So that to me, that is the interesting thing to hear these high school students, their perspective as they're going through this transition that I went through. That's the part that I enjoy.
My name is Amy Tumino, and I am a junior recreation therapy student at University of Toledo. The following piece was written on November 1st. Too young to hurt. One day, you'll look back and wish to go back to those days defined by innocence and not by blame. Should I take fault with your childlike faith? Nothing can dim a child's smile. No, not even the tears. Stand up behind clear, bright eyes. I am the sunshine when you are the night. You only hear my laughter and not these long-held cries, spoken like silence, transcribed like a will, a forgery written in the name of love, but prescribed to kill. I spoke in every language I knew, in jokes, F's, and broken toys. I won't show my tears, my whines are just noise. You'll never know how good you have it, you insist through your teeth, but perhaps you don't know what it's like to be me. I feel your pain, I don't know why. It's age-restricted hope that I think has died. I saw it in the RBG spectrum. Hopelessness is like a movie. Someone bought me a ticket to that R-rated film, captured in the dark shadows and stained with red blood spilled. But you don't see the black and blue. You don't feel the crimson hues. All you see is a happy face made of love, despair, disgrace. I'm too young to be this sad. Life's too short to be this bad. Life's unfair. It's what you said. I agree, and then you're mad. One day, you'll look back and wish to take back those days you defined innocence as the sharp shame. One day, when I'm older, you'll see. I'll never be the same. So this poem was based off of a little bit of life experience and some of the experience I've just seen like other people that I care about go through. Growing up, I was homeschooled and I suffered from a lot of depression and I didn't have a lot of access to mental health care due to the situation I was in. And we were very much part of a religious community, and that's okay. The only thing was that this particular religious community had some stigma around mental health, and it was seen more as like a character defect and just like something you just need to push through and be grateful to God about. And that can be very disheartening and make you feel more invisible or defective, especially as a very young person. I'm not saying that there's a problem with religion or anything like that. I'm just talking about my own personal experience. I know that a lot of people find a lot of inspiration from their faith, and I'm sure that's very important to a lot of people. And, you know, also I saw a lot of friends being, you know, harshly judged for similar experiences, and it was just kind of heartbreaking. You know, I'm very much of the belief that, like, if somebody says they're hurting, we should believe them and give them the benefit of the doubt. It's really the kindest thing to do. And how much kinder is it to give that compassion to a child or a teen who does not have the same advantages as, you know, an adult? You know, I can drive, I can go out and have money, have a job. Whereas, you know, usually teens and kids, they don't have those things or don't have a plethora of resources to gain those things. So, yeah. As I listen to the music the teens have selected, I feel a great amount of respect. The teens have selected music that addresses issues such as heartbreak, racism, and domestic violence. And it really showcases the teens' capacity to explore emotionally complex and nuanced topics. So often we think that because teens have quote-unquote less experience, they deserve less of a voice. But when you really think about it, my experience with mental health and chronic health as a teen is not going to be the same as my mom's experience or your experience. I've personally never experienced any strong animosity or discrimination because of like my color of my skin or the faith of my parents. We all have different struggles, and I think that we should really treat it with a lot more curiosity and rather than judgment. And so often we silence teens because of this perceived lack of experience, but when you really look at it, not only are you burying the voice of someone in pain, but it also denies others the benefits to find commonality from their stories. And like, no matter who you are, whether you're younger or older, your story matters, and there's people who want to hear it. And whether or not it's been buried, if you can't speak up now, you know, let those stories germinate in you, and one day you will break through to that dirt that people have piled on you, and it'll grow out, and it'll be something for people to behold and value, and somebody will love the story that you have.
It's me again, Heather Cleary, and here is my piece written on November 21st. You think this is hard? Wait until you're an adult. I'm not sure that I make adulting look good. I wonder if through my children's eyes, I make life look hard. I am learning late in life that completing tasks and climbing ambitious ladders was a way to survive, to crawl out of a bad situation. At some point, the constant achieving was no longer needed for survival, but became comfortable. Being driven to reach goals or take on too much responsibility to distract from sorrow and grief is human, but not the best example that life can be equal parts struggle and joy, focused and connected. So I wonder if through my children's eyes, what I model looks dark and dreary. Now that they are young adults, I am grateful to see they are taking a more harmonious path, leaving me lessons like breadcrumbs. What inspired this writing was conversations that I have had with my adult children, reflecting on their childhoods, with me often in tears. Those moments when they are finally comfortable enough with their relationship with me because they have their own sense of autonomy, when they can finally tell me that I hurt them. Parents have a lot of power over their children, and it is a fine line of control and freedom that makes it hard for children to be honest and truthful with their parents, particularly when they are still living with their parents. It is humbling to hear how my kids disagree with decisions I made when they were younger, often when they aren't fully aware of the pressures I faced. It is hard not to get defensive and angry, but instead I try to listen and realize this is a moment when they need to be heard and they need an apology. I'm sorry this or that hurt you. It was unintentional, and I wish I could have seen at the time that you were being impacted in the way you have shared. The bar to be reached is often to just do better than your parents did, but there is always room to improve and to be a better parent. I learn a lot from my children, probably more than I have learned from anyone in my lifetime. Sometimes the lessons are tough to swallow, but I am open to their wisdom, to their perspective having value. I am privileged in that I work closely with young people in high schools and at the university, so it is my job to listen to young people. What I'm learning from this exploration of adultism and listening to music that is important to youth is that music with positive messages is important to their survival. If things are dark in their lives, music allows them moments of light. They are aware of the power of art to alter mindset. What they listen to influences their emotions. The students pick songs that have heartbreak and grief, but also a character strong enough to overcome the sorrow. There is diversity of music taste among the high school students, and they often have little tolerance for different styles that their peers like. Music is so closely linked to identity. Certain songs symbolize maturity, refinement, toughness. This project has me remembering how everything felt so big when I was in high school, feeling particular emotions for the first time. As an adult, maybe I have become numb to important things about life because I am distracted by responsibility. I am being introduced to new music, artists I might love, but songs I have never heard, or artists I have never heard. I am aware of that disconnect between what I listen to and what the youth I work with listen to. The music is likely a window to something, but I am not sure what yet.
Hello, my name is Kanya Dietrich, and I am a fourth-year medical student at the University of Toledo. I wrote this piece on November 22nd, 2024. You're so smart for 11. The weight of the words, the world, the universe on scrawny shoulders. I'm smart and I'm better than every other person, so I can handle anything as a smart 11-year-old should. I want to play with my friends outside in the sun, jumping rope and laughing, but I can't. I won't because I'm so smart. And I will stay inside and I will read Anne Frank's diary and write an essay and practice Mad Minute Math because I have to stay smart. My world, my universe, My family depends on it. I must ease my mother's concerns by staying quiet and saving babysitting money and by being smart and taking care of my younger sister and studying and staying smart. I am the caretaker, the peacemaker, but I'm only 11. No matter the big words and big thoughts I share, no matter the weight on my shoulders, no matter the sacrifices I make, I'm nothing if I'm not smart. Other 11-year-olds may laugh in the sun, but they don't have the universe on their backs. To them, I cannot confide, but I also cannot to my teachers, my parents, my anyone. All they see is a scrawny 11-year-old, no matter how smart I stay. But looking back now at 28, I know less now than I ever did then. But I hope to recognize those 11-year-olds who think they have to know everything, to comfort, to see, to lift up, and give them space to rest and just be. What inspired this writing was memories of mine from when I was around age 11, and these were memories that I had not thought about in a very long time. Writing this piece really felt like a gut reaction. I had no time to plan. I read the prompts, "You're so smart for 11," and I immediately jumped into writing. And it reminded me that I felt a lot of responsibility at a very young age when I should have felt more carefree. As an adult now, it's been really grounding me to do this kind of writing, to understand the diverse experiences that high schoolers have, and just using music to bridge the gap between adults and young people. When I grow up, I want to be a pediatrician, so now more than ever, it feels vital for me to connect with younger generations.
Hello, my name is Emily Wiegert, and I am a Master of Social Work student at the University of Toledo. I wrote this piece on December 10th, 2024. My piece is titled, "A Current Transposition of Being Inside My Head at the Age of 14. It's just a stage. You'll grow out of it, they say. I don't believe it. I hope it's true. Writhing in tears on the floor, again. Feelings I've never had before, never heard of before. I'm alone, unlike no one I've ever known. My feelings erupting for what feels like the first time. They say this is what growing up is like, but I don't have a singular clue what's going on inside me. But if I'm being honest, really, really honest, the adults don't seem to know too. No one to turn to, because no one has gone through what I'm going through, right? Turning into an adult means you go through things alone, I suppose. In silence, it seems. I imagine one soul must turn to dust, evaporate into thin air just to get by. Claim to never have a feeling they can't manage, can't control, or white-knuckle through. If I am turning into an adult, then why am I falling apart on the floor? My feelings seem to be growing, swelling into a monster that stands over me. I don't think I'm growing out of this, but growing into it. This is who I'm becoming. Is that allowed to matter? This is a part of my becoming. Must I go through it alone? Must I grow out of myself to make meaning? It's just a stage, and I'm experiencing the performance of a lifetime. Uncontrollably, I exist. It all falls out of me. More and more of myself is exposed. Writing on the wall, nowhere to turn, no one to watch me on this stage. Who's it all for, and who even cares? Because I will grow out of this anyways, right? You think this is hard? Wait till you're an adult, they say. If this loneliness is how adults must operate, I don't think I'll survive that long. If this is our lives, maybe life isn't for me anyway, right? So a bit about what inspired this writing for me was just recalling some experiences I had in my younger self around the age of 14, like the title says, thinking about My first heartbreak or some of the struggles I was going through, watching the adults in my life be silent through what they were going through was a mirror to me of how I thought I was supposed to handle these big, new, heavy feelings that I was experiencing. Didn't really know how to make sense of them because I wasn't watching other people make sense of their feelings. So I just assumed I must be crazy. This must be something that no one else is going through. And now that I'm older and have the tools that I need to want to continue on with life and to enjoy my life, I understand that that comes from not going through things alone and sharing those things with others. So I wanted to draw a line in this piece to feeling like, oh, I must be so alone. I made this up. I'm so crazy, to struggling to understand why a person would exist on this planet, because we find so much meaning through connection and sharing. And I think we learn, hopefully, as adults, that those deep, dark thoughts that we think no one else is experiencing, like, actually everyone else is experiencing. So, yeah, that inspired this piece. And I wanted to question our need to feel things, to feel through things alone. And I think sometimes it's expected that young people being emotional or having emotional is because they're immature or have a lack of experience, or that emotionality shouldn't be taken seriously, or that emotions make you weak or childish. And I think grappling with that, I found a way to flow with my feelings where I don't have to take control of them or pretend they don't exist, but use them to move forward and to share them with others and to connect with others. And that's where I found a lot of meaning in my life. So, yeah, that's me at 14, I guess. What I'm learning from this exploration of adultism and listening to music that is important to youth is that taking young people's feelings and experiences and needs seriously is vital. It's been like a soft and loving reminder that this narrative we tend to hold on to, where we're like, oh, I had it hard back in the day, so the kiddos should have to go through it too, or they should tough it out because I had to. These are narratives we can let go of. We can give love and kindness and empathy to ourselves at those times that we're referencing when we have those thoughts or project those thoughts onto young people, and acknowledge that we actually did deserve better. And we can tangibly acknowledge that we deserved better by actually supporting what is better and needed by young people today. And there's so much hope and healing in this.
Hello, my name is Chantel Crane, and I am a clinical therapist at the University of Toledo Medical Center. Graduated with my master's degree in social work from the University of Toledo in 2019. I wrote the following poem inspired by J. Cole's song, For Your Eyes Only. I wrote this piece on December 12th. This piece is called Reminiscing. But Daddy had dreams once, his eyes had a gleam once, and now they glisten in the illumination of the TV. Sunken cheekbones burrowed above a childlike grin frozen on his face. He watches the camera pan to the drunken crowd congregated in front of him, mouths dripping with sticky beer, shouting lyrics, leopard print spandex, long black hair caked in spray, late nights and late mornings. The microphone was a vessel for his soul to shine, a conduit through which he offered others the gift of music, of life, of love, of thriving in the 80s. He turns the TV off, shuts his eyes one last time, and lets heaven sing him home. So what inspired this writing for me was my father's experience through his journey with cancer. I would walk into his house and I'd find him laying on his couch, eyes glued to the TV, and he was just rewatching on YouTube shows of himself singing as a rock star back in the 80s with his band. And I saw that gleam in his eyes that the song, J. Cole's song, refers to when he watched these videos. So in the context of adultism, what we're studying, I just thought this image was really powerful. It's very powerful in that it's a memory where someone being young is actually giving them strength in their older years. What is coming up for me as an adult is how often I see signs of adultism in the teen client population I work with in therapy. A lot of times I see it come up within the LGBT community where a teenager might be told by their parent they're too young to know their sexuality or, you know, what do you know at 15 sort of thing. But what kind of message is this sending to teenagers, you know? Is it that you can't know your sexuality unless you're straight, unless it's the opposite sex you're attracted to? So I see that come up a lot in my work. Also, just really helps me pause and reflect on ways I could be contributing to adultism. Simple comments that we think are a compliment, like, you're so mature for an 11-year-old. What kind of message, again, are we sending? That 11-year-olds aren't supposed to be mature? Or, you know, it could be interpreted a lot of ways that I don't think adults realize. Another thing I'm learning is that I have often been guilty of glossing over the deeper meaning to songs of our current generation. So I'm guilty of saying things like our modern day music is nothing like the music from the past, you know, from the 80s, from the 70s, whatever it might be. But isn't that the point, really? You know, music today has a distinct voice of its own, and I wish older generations could, including my own, could take more time to slow down and really hear these lyrics, because they could really learn a lot about the world we live in and how we might be contributing to problems we face in our current society.
Hi. My name is Vivek Aslot, and I am a first-year medical student at the University of Toledo College of Medicine and Life Sciences. I wrote this piece inspired by the Tupac Shakur song, Keep Your Head Up, on December 14th. The piece is titled, A Walk Through a Broken Home. I returned to a broken home, the glass shards and the old creaky stairs. The memories come flooding in, causing further damage in that space that I call home. The wind chimes dance like nothing happened. The neighbor's dog still barks every time I enter. But the place that I call home still remains broken. Shattered to pieces, we try to fix it, only to find it more broken than before. The lies written all over the walls, creating seeps through the pipes, infesting the air, making it difficult to breathe. The floorboard cracks with every step she took. The flood she brought has ruined my sleep. I experience a hurricane of emotions, but no stronger than the hurricane that damaged this house. I experience the death of both of us. I fear it may be broken forever. But like a traveler in search for new land, new opportunities, I set forth on my new expedition, marking my territory and listening where the wind chimes take me next. I take my old mask off, freeing me from my spirits. And with my new home left behind, I have lost a lot, but gained the freedom I never knew I had. What inspired this writing was the deep words that Tupac Shakur had in his lyrics. And so his lyrics deeply resonated with me, especially his major theme of resilience, healing, and the cycle of going through pain in relationships. So this song made me reflect on my own personal experiences and experiences that I've seen around myself, including people trying to navigate broken systems and broken relationships, and inspired me to give a voice to the struggle of returning to something familiar, yet trying to also find a way to rebuild yourself. And so the main reason why I wrote this piece was that I wanted to capture the tension between the idea of longing for home or for settling down, and also the need to break free from what someone has been currently experiencing. What I am learning from this exploration of adultism and listening to music that is important to youth is the journey that highlights how music can speak the unspoken truths for the youth population. So this has really given me the idea that, you know, you can use your voice to provide meaning and express your complex emotions. Oftentimes, from my personal experiences, I felt that adult perspectives can often sometimes diminish or, you know, designify the creative outlets for the youth population. And so listening to empowering music that matters to high school students, I've realized that it's important to also listen to their perspectives and acknowledge the resilience that they faced. At the end of the day, we do not know what kind of broken homes or societal expectations or personal losses people have faced in their lives. But listening to this kind of music and providing a creative outlet for our youth populations allows both the youth and us to have a deeper understanding of the way that, you know, music acts as kind of a mirror between the person listening and the person who speaks the truths. And it allows us to reflect on our realities and map our own struggles that we may face in our lives.
We would like to thank WGTE and the producer of Voices Around Us, Chris Pfeiffer, for the opportunity to share our stories. Thank you to the writers of Fearless Writers, particularly those participating in the Community Empathy Write, and the University of Toledo for their support of the project. Please join us for episode 2, where we talk with high school students about how violence has impacted them and what ideas they have for changes that could prevent violence in our community. I am Heather Cleary, and you have been listening to No More Silence. Feel free to comment and follow us at wgte.org/nomoresilence or wherever you stream your podcasts.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners and administered by the Arts Commission.